Amen. Well, this Sunday, we are blessed to have Shane Jordan bringing the message to us from God's Word. I imagine most of you already know Shane, since he is one of our elders here at Redeeming Grace. And before he gets up to preach from Psalm 23, 1 through 6, I'd like to prepare for that by reading that passage. So hear now the words of the living and the true God. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. May God bless the reading of his word. Shane.
Thanks, Josh. Will you bow your heads and pray with me? The Lord tells his people in Isaiah 41:10, "Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God." Lord, we take great comfort in these words. And we are so grateful to you for your love, for your protection, for your guidance and help. Lord, I pray that the truth of your word touches the hearts of the hearers today, and that we are encouraged to live out that truth in our lives each day. In your name we pray, amen. In 2014, my daughter Summer started kindergarten. That same year, the local high school chose Summer to play a part in their spring musical that involved some minor acting and singing. She practiced for months leading up to the play, and for months, we would pick her up after rehearsal. One particular evening, I decided to stop by the store to grab a few things before heading to the school. When I got home from the store, my wife looked at me and said, where's Summer? My stomach dropped when I realized instantly I made a huge mistake. I imagine my 5-year-old daughter outside in the cold, alone, frightened, and unsure of what to do. When concerned adults offered her a ride, Summer calmly told them, "My dad's picking me up." Thank God everything turned out okay, but ever since that day, Summer never misses an opportunity to remind me of it. We laugh about it now, but the memory still stings. That night, I failed my daughter. She relied on me to care for her, to protect her, and to be there when she needed me. And I let her down. The trust that she placed in me took a hit, and as her father, that's a hard truth to bear. In a way, my role as a father mirrors that of a shepherd. I care for and protect my children just as a shepherd cares for and protects his sheep. A good shepherd builds trust with his sheep through constant presence and familiarity. As I researched, I discovered that shepherds live alongside of their flocks day and night. And over time, the sheep learn to recognize the voice of their shepherd. The sheep rely on their shepherd to meet their needs each and every day. Without that care, domesticated sheep who are helpless by nature struggle to survive. They startle easily. They stray from safety and blindly follow the flock, even into danger. Their survival rests entirely on the shepherd's devotion and reliability. Just like them, my children place their trust in me, and I commit myself to leading them faithfully. Scripture frequently calls followers of God sheep. Though some may find this comparison unflattering, it accurately reflects our nature. Left to our own devices, we create chaos. Life's circumstances easily spook us. We chase the flock into poor decisions and stray from the path without much resistance. But our behavior doesn't come from a lack of intelligence. It reveals our struggle to trust the shepherd. During different seasons of life, we lose control or feel weakened by what surrounds us. We question God's love, or we doubt his power to conquer the world's evil. Sometimes he seems distant or even unresponsive to our pain. As we journey through this sin-cursed world, we walk into dry wastelands, shadowed valleys, or treacherous roads. Yet our shepherd stays vigilant, wise, powerful, and always watching. That truth brings us to the main idea of today's message. God shepherds his people through his provision, protection, and presence. God shepherds his people through his provision, protection, and presence. The opening verse identifies David as the author of this psalm. And we first encounter David in 1 Samuel 16, shepherding his father's sheep. So David understood all too well the responsibilities and the sacrifices necessary to care for sheep properly. The context of the psalm suggests David penned it after many trials and many struggles. Over the last couple months at Redeeming Grace Church, Pastor Josh has led us on a journey through David's life in 1 Samuel. During that time, we have observed the Lord shepherd David in trial after trial. And God does the same thing for us today. And in verses 1 through 3, we see God shepherds his people through his provision. Verse 1 begins with an emphasis that God's people content themselves with the shepherd's care. David declares, "The Lord is my shepherd," affirming his personal relationship with the Lord. He is not a shepherd. He is not the shepherd. He is not just someone else's shepherd. No, he is my shepherd. He walks the same fields. He climbs the same hills. And he faces the very same challenges as his sheep. What other religion can make this claim about their God? Because his sheep intimately know him. Because the shepherd intimately knows him, knows his struggles, knows his needs, David can content himself in the shepherd's care. When David says he shall not want, he reveals his contentment, his fulfillment, his satisfaction, and his trust in the shepherd. His shepherd anoints him with divine favor and walks with him through profound struggle, persecution from his king, turmoil from his family, and grief from his own sin, teaching him to trust his shepherd. The Apostle Paul shares a similar journey. He learns to trust God through relentless challenges. He realizes that true contentment doesn't flow from circumstances. It flows from a deep, abiding, personal relationship with the shepherd. He learned in whatever situation he found himself to be content. God pours out grace in abundance. And that provision of grace gives Paul contentment. Contentment in all things, at all times, even while in prison and in chains. In verse 1, God's people content themselves with the shepherd's care. In verses 2 through 3, God's people submit themselves to the shepherd's leadership. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. Because farmers tend to grow grains and crops more efficiently in the lowlands, shepherds often guide their sheep through the highlands or the rugged mountainous terrain on their way to greener pastures. The shepherd leads his flock to abundant fields where he makes them lie down in green pastures, where he leads them beside still waters, where they experience peace, satisfaction, and refreshment. Those still waters stand in stark contrast to the chaos and the danger of fast-moving rivers that can easily sweep away a helpless sheep. Just as a sheep proves helpless walking through dangerous terrain on his own without his shepherd, so too do we prove helpless walking on our own without our shepherd. If we forsake the leadership of our shepherd and venture out on our own, we risk putting ourselves in the same danger that lone sheep finds himself in the wilderness. When God's sheep wander from the flock, they lose sight of the shepherd. When they teeter on the edge of cliffs of temptation, they lose sight of the shepherd. When they thrash about in the rapids of sin, threatening to sweep them away, they lose sight of the shepherd. Though we may wander, the shepherd stands ready to restore us and to guide us back to the path of righteousness, leading us to peace and rest. The children of God who stray from the righteous path to sinful paths separate themselves from the protection of the shepherd. So, why would we teeter on the cliffs of temptation when he offers us the safety of lying down in green pastures? And why would we struggle in the rapids of sin when he promises to lead us beside the still waters? Only when we return to him can verse 3 become a reality. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. When he restores my soul, he leads me and returns me to its intended original state. He revives it. He rescues it from destruction. But how does he restore our soul? In Psalm 19:7, David himself tells us. He does so with his word. He says, "The law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. When sorrow overtakes it, God revives it. When sin burdens it, God sanctifies it. When weakness sets in, he strengthens it." Just as a shepherd speaks to his sheep to return them to the intended place of safety, so too does God use his word to return his people to paths of righteousness. And when we travel the path enough, it becomes easier over time. My wife Anna and I recently traveled to the ancient city of Pompeii in Italy. As we walked along the stone streets of the city, we could still see the ruts in the stone carved by years of wagons rolling over them. Those ruts kept the wagons on the right path. And in the same way, returning to God's word again and again, carves a right path for us to trod. Submitting to the scriptures keeps us on the path of righteousness. And it also honors his name, hence the words, "for his name's sake." The Lord leads us along the paths of righteousness because we bear his name before the world. Our behavior either honors or dishonors his name. The third commandment in Exodus 27 commands us not to take the Lord's name in vain. That term, "in vain," refers not only to speaking his name carelessly or disrespectfully, but also to failing to reflect his holiness through our actions and our words. So, my brothers and sisters, will you choose to follow the Lord's guidance and obey his voice? Will you choose to return to God's word again and again and actively carve a path of righteous living, a path that glorifies his name? God's people find contentment in the shepherd's care and submit wholeheartedly to his leadership. As they surrender, God faithfully provides and leads for them as a devoted shepherd. God appointed Elijah to stand against the unrighteous rule of King Ahab and Queen Jezebel. And in obedience to the Lord's command, Elijah delivered a prophetic warning of drought and judgment to King Ahab, as recorded in 1 Kings 17. The Lord then directed Elijah to retreat into the wilderness, and Elijah faithfully followed his instruction. To sustain him there, God actively provided for Elijah's physical needs. He actually sent ravens under his command to deliver meat and bread to the prophet daily. Will you too step into the wilderness the Lord has called you? He led Elijah there, and he may lead you there too. But embrace the solitude. It may bring storms, it may bring darkness, it may even bring sleepless nights. But it also clarifies your vision. It renews your spirit, and it deepens your awareness of his presence. You may carry the weight of your season, a diagnosis, deep loneliness, or painful loss. Resist despair. Uproot it before it settles. Remember, the Lord calls every believer into the wilderness, but the shepherd stays with his people. He sustained Elijah through drought and fear, and he sustains you through your trials. He provides exactly what it is that you need in the wilderness that you're walking through. Declare as David did, "I shall not want." Speak it boldly, because the Lord shepherds you and leads you towards green pastures and still waters. Follow him even when the path twists through uncertainty. Hold fast to him, especially when the way looks unclear. Walk with courage. Cling tightly to your shepherd, expecting him to provide. Your story doesn't end in the wilderness. It's just a chapter in your journey. In verses 1 through 3, God shepherds his people through his provision. Then, in verses 4 through 5, God shepherds his people through his protection. "Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me." Contrary to what some may believe these days, God never promises to shield us from calamity or to shield us from pain or sickness. No, Scripture tells us that we must expect the valleys. The phrase valley of the shadow of death or darkest valley vividly portrays someone walking along a narrow valley path while towering cliffs loom above, sheltering predators that wait to pounce. This valley symbolizes life's most challenging seasons, times filled with affliction, danger, hardship, and even the shadow of death. David confirms the reality of these dark seasons when he says, even though I walk through the valley, but the question arises. If the shepherd wants to protect his sheep, why? Why does he lead them through the danger instead of going around it? God could avoid leading us into these treacherous valleys, but he chooses to lead us into them with purpose. He shows the sheep his power by guiding them through the darkness, not around it. He reveals his loving kindness and his personal care by remaining close in the bleakest moments. The shepherd doesn't guide us into hardship because he lacks strength or wisdom. On the contrary, he deliberately leads us into and through these valleys so we can walk confidently under his sovereign protection. We face seasons of illness, loss, grief, financial trouble, and emotional turmoil. God doesn't always spare us from these struggles. So we must look to the Lord for strength. And while walking forward with faith, we must fear no evil. Children fear the dark because they associate it with the unknown. When darkness swallows the light, they lose their sense of certainty and imagine dangers that are hiding in the shadows. But fear doesn't only grip children, does it? Adults also tremble before what they cannot see or comprehend. Even when the road passes through enemies in darkness, saints who trust the Lord do not sprint in panic, nor do they freeze in despair. No, they walk steadily, faithfully, because they believe in their shepherd who silences every fear that threatens their hearts. Walking shows how we move forward with purpose, knowing both the path and the destination. Each step reveals how the believer trusts in the one who promises that all things work together for good for those who love him. That unwavering pace boldly declares faith that sees through death's shadow and denies it any real power. After all, we don't fear the shadow of a sword. It cannot kill. We don't fear the shadow of a snake. It cannot bite. And we don't fear the shadow of death. Why? Because Christ stripped death of its substance and power. Paul declares in 1 Corinthians 15:55 through 57, O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. So, fellow saints, fear no evil. Fear no evil as you walk through your valley. Fix your gaze on the light and turn away from the darkness. When you do, you choose courage over fear. You choose peace over anxiety. And you choose to echo David's word when he says, I will fear no evil because you are with me. Psalm 121:7 reveals that he keeps you from all evil. Psalm 34:7 tells us he sends his angel to encamp around those who fear him and delivers them. He promises never to leave you nor forsake you. Walk. Walk confidently. Because Colossians 2:15 reminds us that he disarmed the rulers and authorities, put them to open shame, and triumphed over them. His power raised Jesus from the dead. And that same power walks with you. He continues in the next part of the verse. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. When we walk through the valley, sometimes the demons, they seem closer than the shepherd. But the shepherd stays right by our side. He shields us from the evil that surrounds us. He uses the rod or club to drive away wild animals and also to correct the sheep when they stray. He wields the staff to protect and to guide. It's easy to see why driving off wild animals brings comfort. Yet many people struggle to understand why it is or how it's possible that correction or discipline does the same. My parents disciplined me at times, as hard as it may be to believe. Right. Yeah. Back then, I didn't understand why running into traffic or placing my hand on a hot stove posed such a danger. But the discipline and the correction my parents provided me protected me from that danger. Danger that I may not have even been aware of. In the same way, God's discipline and correction serve to protect us from danger. Even danger we may not even be aware of. Though that correction may feel uncomfortable or even painful at times, it creates a secure, protected environment that brings real comfort. When we have a loving God who actively seeks to protect us from harm, the dangers that are hiding in the shadows do not hinder a courageous walk through the dark valleys of life. Not only must we fear no evil, we must also rest in his power. Verse 5, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Here David steps beyond the shepherd metaphor and reveals a vision of deeper intimacy with God. The Lord leads him faithfully through the valley of the shadow of death and sets a victorious feast before him, a feast that's right in the presence of his enemies. With the danger behind him, David rests in peace, trusting fully in God's sheltering presence. His enemies, they stand powerless, unable to shake the joy of this divine celebration. And each blessing grows sweeter when David receives it directly from God's gracious hand. God anoints David's head with oil, declaring his lavish blessing, his healing touch, and his unfailing protection. He fills the cup until it overflows, a vivid display of his abundant provision. Pastor Jeremy shared with me during a recent conversation that while serving in Iraq, he witnessed locals deliberately pour tea into cups until it spilled over into the saucer, an act that was rich with meaning, a symbol of overflowing blessing. The symbolism that David used then continues as a tradition in the Middle East, even today. This echoes the timeless promise that God does not just meet our needs, he exceeds them. About a month before her 24th birthday, my sister Jacqueline passed away unexpectedly and suddenly. The valley of the shadow of death became very real to me during that time. She would have celebrated her 38th birthday about 2 weeks ago. The sting of her loss remains with me and my family to this day. Pain and tragedies are realities that all of us must face, and none of us can escape. But do not let pain or tragedy pull your gaze from the Lord. Stand firm. Stand firm, for your shepherd is right beside you, unyielding, vigilant, and mighty to defend. In the darkest valleys, he doesn't abandon you. He calls you. He calls you to rise in confidence, to trust his perfect leadership, and to rest boldly in the power of his presence. Lean in, hold fast, let nothing shake your faith. He is with you, and he is with us always. Each new valley just presents another opportunity to grow in courage and to grow in faith. Won't we walk boldly, knowing our destination and the celebration banquet that awaits? In verses 4-5, God shepherds his people through his protection. In verse 6, God shepherds his people through his presence. Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. In the first part of the verse, David confidently believed that goodness and mercy pursued him every day of his life. That same truth applies to us today. And because of it, we must be grateful for the present. Goodness and mercy pursued David with unwavering devotion, embodying the loving kindness of God himself. He opens his hand to meet our countless needs and embraces us with a heart that sees beyond them. And the wonder of it all, he doesn't send them from a distance. He is present with us today. He patiently pursues us. He abundantly provides, not just offering gifts, but offering himself. In verse 1, David says, "The Lord is my shepherd." The question is, do you know him as David did? Can you too say that the Lord is my shepherd? Do you have the same unwavering devotion in your pursuit of the Lord as the Lord has in his pursuit of you? Remember, a sheep that strays loses sight of the shepherd. And that sheep proves helpless and struggles to survive. Knowing that truth, do we long for the shepherd's presence as David did? As he did when he wrote these words in Psalm 63:1. Oh God, you are my God. Earnestly I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh faints for you. As in a dry and weary land where there is no water. We must be grateful for the present. And we must also be hopeful for the future. And I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. In the Old Testament, writers primarily referred to the tabernacle and later the temple in Jerusalem as the house of the Lord. God designed these structures to serve as his dwelling place among his people and to function as central locations for worship. This earthly temple pointed forward to a heavenly one where we will enjoy his presence and worship him eternally. David confidently declared that he would dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Psalm 16:11 celebrates the joy and fulfillment found there, proclaiming, in your presence, there is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. Charles Spurgeon, the 19th century preacher, captured the essence of this verse beautifully. He explained, quote, "For quality, there is in heaven joy and pleasures. For quantity, a fullness, a torrent whereat they drink without let or loathing. For constancy, it is at God's right hand, who is stronger than all. Neither can any take us out of his hand. It is a constant happiness without intermission. And for perpetuity, it is forevermore. Heaven's joys are without measure, mixture, or end." End quote. At the 1992 Barcelona Olympics, British sprinter Derek Redmond tore his hamstring during the 400-meter semifinal, a race that he was a favorite to win gold in. Refusing to quit, he forced himself forward one agonizing step at a time. From the stands, his father, Jim Redmond, saw his son struggling and sprang into action. He pushed through security, raced onto the track, and wrapped his arm around Derek. Together, father and son walked to the finish line, drawing a standing ovation from the over 65,000 spectators. Jim's loving presence and support, matched by Derek's determination, turned their shared moment into an enduring symbol of perseverance and the Olympic spirit. Unexpected events will strike, and moments of heartbreak will test our resolve. But don't let discouragement steal your stride. Push through the setbacks. Trust in the one who never leaves your side. When your strength fails, call out to your heavenly Father. He runs to you. He wraps his arm around you and walks with you to the finish. But don't chase medals. Chase him. Hear the roar of heaven's applause as you keep going. Take inspiration from Derek Redmond. When agony broke his body, the love of his father lifted his spirit. Let that image stir you. The love of his father lifted his spirit. Won't we live boldly in the now? Won't we embrace the joy and the comfort of our Father today? And also look ahead with hope. Our future holds even greater intimacy, deeper connection, and everlasting victory. In Psalm 23, David declared the Lord as his shepherd. He watched the Lord meet his needs, guide him through dark valleys, and surround him with divine presence. Just as God shepherded David then, he shepherds us today. We resemble sheep, naturally weak and dependent. One day, each one of us will walk through that unavoidable valley of death. In that moment, when we stand powerless and exposed, our spiritual survival will hinge entirely on if we know the shepherd. So, the question arises, are you one of his sheep? Jesus proclaimed in John 10:11, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep." He chose to offer himself as a sacrifice for the sins of his sheep. And on the third day, he conquered the grave by rising from the dead. And he promises eternal life to all who believe in him. If you don't follow Jesus as your shepherd, you will enter into the valley of death unprepared for what awaits. Paul pleads in 2 Corinthians 6:2, "Behold, now is the favorable time. Behold, now is the day of salvation." God shepherds his people through his provision, protection, and presence. If the shepherd speaks to your heart today, will you answer his call?